Let's go to the Lord in prayer. After prayer, please stay standing. We'll be singing a hymn, Day by Day, number 448. You can get a hymnal ready here in just a minute. Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, our hearts are heavy as Miss Roberta went home to be with the Lord, as well as one of our missionary families, Lord, Miss Susan. Never had the privilege to meet Miss Susan, Lord, but just through emails and texts with Melvin, Lord, just a sweet couple, Lord. They were excited about serving you. I never heard a complaint, Lord. At a time when many people are retired, come back home, Lord, and they could easily have done that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, Lord, they wanted to serve you. They've continued to serve you for many, many years. Foreign countries, active in the college in Puerto Rico, or even during a lot of health problems. And, Lord, you've taken Miss Susan home to be with you. Her time here was done, Lord. It was time for her to come home to glory. I'm sure she had quite a welcome, Lord, as she was a faithful servant. I think of Miss Roberta, Lord, for many, many, many years, most of her life, Lord, she thought she was okay. Went to church on occasion, was religious, indulged herself in a lot of the things of the world that said it was okay, but didn't know Christ as Savior. I'm thankful, Lord, that through testimony, through some who witnessed to her, Lord, on a regular basis, her and her husband both came to trust Jesus Christ as Savior, trusting in nothing else but Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. Lord, I pray that tomorrow during the service, I know many, if not most, will be folks that don't know you, Lord, that probably are good people, sweet people, kind people. Lord, and fun to be around, but Lord, may be trusting in a system of religious works, being okay. And Lord, we know that only through Jesus Christ and removal of sins because of Christ's death on the cross can one be assured of heaven. I pray your blessing tomorrow in the service that we could honor not Miss Roberta, but as well as honor you, Lord, through the preaching of your word. Thank you, Lord, for each who have gathered here. There are those that are traveling. They're away on vacation. There are those who are home, not able to be here for different reasons. I pray, Lord, today would be a special day for them as we worship you together. May the word of God, Lord, meet the need of each heart, each home, each individual, each family today. May you receive the glory as we lift up our voices now in praise. We love and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay standing as our brother comes.
All right. 448, day by day. Isn't it great how God's grace is sufficient, right? And God's grace doesn't end. It's overflowing. But he gives us how much we need when we need it. And that's a promise, right? He doesn't leave us hanging. Oh, I wonder if I'm going to get the grace I need to get through this situation. Nope. Day by day, he gives it. Every passing moment. That incremental. And what a blessing it is to sing about God's grace given to us day by day. All right. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. His whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me, he's whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, never take to far the Father's hand. One by one, the days, the
promised land.
Then sings my soul, my
dear God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. And when I think that God His Son not sparing sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art.
To reach the shining light, burning bright, your plan fulfilled. Lord, keep my focus on you each day. Though I am tempted to go my own way, help me to trust in you, to live my life.
The words of that song ties in with the message, though I didn't know what she was singing, and she doesn't know what I'm preaching on, so glad that God did that. We're going to dismiss at this time our children's church ministry, sixth grade and down, along with workers and helpers. Sometimes that can be a big group here. Let them slip on out. All right, sixth grade and down, three different children's church classes and three different teachers, three different helpers. We are glad that folks are involved in that ministry. All right, as they are leaving, I hope you'll be praying for me as I preach, but also three preachers out of this church not here this morning. Pastor Cremard, Mr. Arlene, I believe, are either in Berwick or Honesdale preaching. Shane, preaching in Mount Baptist Shikshini. Nathan Gillip, preaching today at Mountaintop Baptist, churches that don't have pastors. And that's a part of the church. It's a ministry here. We have three men preaching today, probably preaching as of right now or a little bit before. So you'd be praying for them, I imagine, as they're at the pulpit or about to take the pulpit, just as I am here this morning. In your Bibles, though, if you'll turn to the fifth book of the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy. Fifth book of the Bible, as you start from the front page. If you want to use one of our pew Bibles, that's great. We have a pew Bible, should be handy for you. You want to turn to page 289 in the pew Bible. Page 289, if you're using one of our pew Bibles there this morning. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. As I scan the crowd, listen to the pages turn. Sometimes I see people I'd missed. All right, it is good to have Dorothy here. Maybe you pray for Dorothy Wassel, had a procedure done. Glad that turned out well. Glad that she's here today. Gladys as well. All of you are important, all right? We're glad to have each one of you here this morning, those that are watching by way of live stream. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we are in the middle of a series on the home, marriage, the home, the family. Next week is Father's Day. There's your hint, all right? Father's Day, we had Mother's Day, hard to believe, almost a month ago. And don't worry, kids, we'll get to Children's Day, all right? It's in the 13th month of the year, and Father's Day coming up here. We'll obviously be specifically looking in the Bible at fathers next week. And then the last Sunday, that's hard to believe, 2 weeks from now will be our Bible school Sunday. We'll have a message in the morning that'll tie in with children, vacation Bible school, and then that evening starts our vacation Bible school. So we've been a little series on this. This morning we're in Deuteronomy is where we'll be, Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And I'll invite you to follow along with me as I read the first 12 verses. Deuteronomy chapter 6, going to read the first 12 verses. Now, let's remember the context here is God speaking through Moses to the children of Israel. So obviously, Bible interpretation in the time, this is God speaking directly to the Jews, Israel. All right, through Moses, who was their leader. And the Israelites are about to cross the Jordan River and enter the Promised Land. The land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey. They'd been slaves in bondage in Egypt for over 400 years. God miraculously delivered them through the plagues, the Red Sea, the defeating of Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. He has led them for 40 years through the wilderness. The reason of the 40-year wandering was because of their sin. They did not believe the spies. God sent the 12 spies and they believed the 10 spies who gave a false report and said, we can't do it, we're going to get killed, there's giants, there's no way. They murmured against God. They turned against God. They turned against Moses and Aaron. They turned against Joshua and Caleb, who gave a good report. And God said, you're going to
wander and die in the wilderness for 40 years. 1 year for every day you were gone spying out the land. Everyone from age 20, interesting, God's numbering system now. Pay attention to God's numbering system, parents, in the Bible, by the way. Not the world's numbering system. You know, the world says when you're this age, you can do this. When you're this age, you're going to do. All right. How about we pay attention to what God says? Pay attention to God. See what he says about some things. He says from 20 years and older, every one of you will die over the next 40 years in the wilderness because of your rebellion, your disobedience, except for Caleb and Joshua, the two spies who trusted me and believed me. So by the time we get here to Deuteronomy, Moses is still living, though he will die by the end of the book. Aaron has already died. Miriam already died. Joshua about to become the new leader. And it's all a new group of people. It's a new group. It's some people who would be 59. They would be the older group. They were 19 when they first started wandering. And then a lot of younger ones and children who've been born. It's a whole new group of people. And God says, we're going to go back and remind you of some things. Hence the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means second law. It means law reviewed, law repeated. It's what teachers do constantly when teaching. We're going to review. We're going to review, see if you learned anything. A little review quiz, a little review test. Mom and Dad, hopefully you do this on a regular basis. You ask questions to your children to see if they are learning anything. If they don't give you the right answer, let's do it again. All right? Or if you're not doing the right thing, it's review. So the book of Deuteronomy means review. Second time we're going to give the law. Let's go over it again. Why? Because it's a whole new group of people. It's been 40 years since I gave the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. It's been 40 years. This is a new crowd. It's new people entering into a new land. They need to hear this again. They need to hear it, some for the first time. And so the book of Deuteronomy is that book. And now we come to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I think it'll make a little more sense now that you remember the background of the people that are listening to this. Verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. For thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee. Notice this, thou and thy son and thy son's son. It's not just for one generation. For multiple generations, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Many times we stop right there. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house and when thou walkest by the way and when thou liest down and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets before thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land, which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now those words were written many thousands of years ago to the Israelites as they were about to enter the promised land. However, they are God-breathed words, inspired, recorded, and preserved in the scriptures for us to apply today. No, we're not the Jews. We're not Israel. The church is not. But I believe the truths and principles found in here are just as important today for moms and dads and singles and adults and homes and families. And we would do well to heed what God has said here in the book of Deuteronomy. My title this morning comes right out of verse number 12. If you're taking notes, the title of this morning's message is Beware, Lest Thou Forget the Lord. Beware, lest thou forget the Lord. Again, please remember what we're doing here. We're talking to a group of people who, by and large, except for the younger ones who've been born, who've been wandering, just going nowhere, which, by the way, is like a lot of believers. You go a lot of places, but you go nowhere. You look back 10 years, you've not made any spiritual progress. You're not any different than you were 20 years ago. You may even be worse. Oh, you may walk a lot of places, go to a lot of services, listen to a lot of messages, read, but you're not anywhere. You're still wandering in the wilderness. The wilderness of comfortability, the wilderness of nothing. And God said, I've got a land of milk. There's so many things you can learn from the Old Testament and the book of Joshua. It's time to cross over the Jordan. That's the river of full surrender. Let's go to the promised land. The promised land's not heaven. There's giants in the promised land. There's wickedness. There's no wickedness in heaven. The promised land is the picture of the higher Christian life. That what God has for you. It's fighting. It's warfare. It's defending the truth. It's knocking down strongholds and overcoming sin and achieving victory through Christ. It's trusting His word. It's action. It's not just sitting there. It's not retiring. Let's go to heaven, the promised land. I know there's a lot of hymns that say that, all right? And God is saying to His people, I'm going to take you in there. I am giving you the land. I promised it. I will do everything. You just need to trust me. You need to obey me. You need to follow my rules, and I will bless you and bless your land and bless your family and bless your homes. And yes, there are a lot of things that we could probably apply to America. I think sometimes you have to be careful. We're not in any way grasping all and taking all the promises God made to Israel, although there's certainly some application that you can see in our great country and its founding. God certainly blesses those that honor and keep His word and promote it. God certainly judges those who don't, be it countries, nations, or individuals. And so it's time for the law to be reviewed, to be repeated, for some to hear it for the very first time because they were not alive. They've only heard the stories of the Red Sea. They've already heard the stories of the plagues. They've already heard the stories of the victories. They've only heard the stories of the spies coming back. They weren't there, and so it's time to review those. And you have an old Moses at 120 who's led the people for 40 years going back and reviewing and trying to nail it into the hearts and the minds of these people who will soon enter the promised land, which is full of idolatry and wickedness and immorality and witchcraft and paganism. And they're going to have to trust God to see victory. And so we come to this classic passage, which is one of the most famous for every Jew, especially the Shema, chapter 6, verses 4, 5, 6, and on. And yes, I realize that many Jewish people have taken literally what it says in verses 8 and 9, bind them for a sign on thy hand, write them on the post. Many of you know, many Orthodox Jews will do that and believe that God meant to do that exactly. And you can recognize a Jewish home many times by on the doorstep there, a little Jewish thing with a little scroll on it. Many times they roll them up and wear them. I don't believe that's what God meant, but I know that there are those that do that. I believe that God was using symbolism here to let us know how important it was to never forget His word. And so the title of the message this morning, Beware Lest Thou Forget the Lord. Can you imagine the people here? I mean, I don't know what it was like, 40 years wandering. It wasn't that exciting. You go back and read Numbers and, there were some highs, but there was a lot of lows. A lot of bad things happening, just constantly eating manna all the time. Just, it was just nowhere. They didn't get anywhere. And now you're excited. God says, we're going to go. You may be close to the Jordan River. You may even look across on a good day and see the mountain ranges of Canaan. That's the land of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the land that God promised. That's where we're headed, but you're not there yet. But you're almost there. You're almost headed home to the land of milk and honey. And you can imagine the people getting excited. You see what God said there in verse number 11 and 12? Sometimes we don't think about this. We're talking maybe 2 to 4 million Jewish people. 2 to 4 million. With untold millions of cattle perhaps and sheep and different things. We don't really know what they brought out and how much survived. You're getting ready to go in the land of Canaan, but you're not going to go in and like build cities and build homes and build. It's all there for you. It's all there. I'm going to give you victory, and you're going to go. Now, the entire city is there. It's yours. The houses are already built. The kitchens are done. The crops are planted. The animals are there. You're going to get in there, and you're going to get it. I'm going to give it to you. Not like the early pioneers coming to America where you got to cut down the trees and you got to carve out a civilization. The entire land of Canaan is civilized, in a word, somewhat uncivilized. It's yours. I'm going to give you victory, and you're going to possess it, and you're going to say, this is now my house. It's already done. The gardens are out there. We got vineyards, and we got animals and sheep. This is incredible. This is great. And when the fighting's all done and you possess the land, God says, here's what's going to happen. And I know what's going to happen because I'm God, and I created you. And I know what man's nature is, and I know what sin does. You're going to get in there, and you're going to forget me. And you're going to get all into your house and all into your land and your possessions. And you're going to always be thinking and dreaming of the next thing that you can do. House and your job and your occupation and your family and your finances and the addition and all of those things. And that's all you're going to think about. And you're going to forget about me. Now, it's not wrong to enjoy a home and a garden and nothing wrong with that stuff. There's nothing wrong with keeping your home nice and clean and neat and decorating. That's nothing wrong with all that stuff. Nothing wrong with family time and vacations and enjoying that kind of stuff. But God says, beware. Beware! Lest you forget me. Because at first, I'll be fresh on your mind. At first, you'll be like, whoa, this is awesome. Look at all that God did. But as time sets in and you become comfortable, you're going to be looking around and spending your time and your attention on your house. The next thing you can do to your house, the next thing you, if it were today, your cars and your boats. And you're going to be thinking about your calendar and your vacations and family time and all the things you can do. And what about your money and what you're going to do it here and boom, 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 boom. And that's all you're going to do. Oh, you may occasionally do a few things with God and you may go through the motions, keeping a few of the ceremonies and the feasts, doing your duties. But you're going to be consumed with everything and you're going to forget me. You're going to forget God that brought you out of bondage. You're going to forget God that delivered you from Egypt. And you're going to forget God that opened the Red Sea. And you're going to forget God that provided for you in the wilderness. And you're going to forget God. And soon, he said, you're going to, if you read it, you're going to follow all the people around you. And soon you're going to let your children marry them. And you're going to intermarry. And you're going to become just like them. And you're going to become just like the very people that you took over their cities and their homes. Over time. And if you are not diligent parents in teaching your children and your grandchildren, you will lose the next generation. Now, you and I have the benefit today of reading the record of what happened. We know what happened. We can read Joshua. We can read Judges. We can read what happened when Joshua and the elders died. And it says, a new generation arose which knew not God. And we can read about the messed up lives of society and Judges and on through the Old Testament, which some people say is irrelevant today because we're in New Testament times. And yet, as Miss Barbara quoted eloquently in Sunday school, our verse of the month, for those things which are written aforetime are written for our learning. That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have those are in here for a reason. And God recorded the Old Testament for a purpose. And we better learn from that because though our times have changed and we have nice outfits today and we have cars and boats and things they didn't have back then and we carry cell phones and computers and laptop and though we have lots of technology today and air conditioning and lighting and our homes are very modern, we're not any different than them. We're not any different than any of them. And I want to ask you today on June 11th, 2023, Is there any inkling of you forgetting God? We were driving home last night. I drove down Wednesday night after church to my mom's, and Emily and my wife came down Thursday night, and we were doing a two-day moving sale for my mom. Mom's going to be moving locally in a couple months, and so lots of work doing all this stuff. My dad's a two-story garage workshop and trying to, busy, doing all kinds of stuff. I had a wedding shower for our niece that was there. And we got home last night, driving home, both two different cars, and, you know, you're weary, you're tired from three or four straight days of work and running around, and you know how it is. And as soon as we were on 92, it's a couple miles from Lockville Road, Harding. I could feel myself doing what happens to most people, right? You begin to relax. You're almost home. Right? And yet statistics tell us that the vast majority of accidents happen within a few miles of your destination. And most of you that drive, you know what that's like. You know why? Because when you first start off, you're alert. If you're driving to new places, you don't know the roads. You're up in a... But when you get back to comfortable surroundings, and you're on the old home stretch, the old home grounds, you're on the roads you know so well, and you're just a few miles away, and you're weary from driving hours, and you're tired, and you're ready to kick back, or you're about to see some people you haven't seen in a long time, you know what happens? You get comfortable. You let down your guard. You start to go exceedingly fast. I can't wait to get out of here. I'm ready to get home. You're not paying as much attention. You're taking a little more risk. Your senses are down. You're like, this is comfortable surroundings. I'm close to home. I can't wait to get there. Boom, that's when a lot of accidents happen. When a lot of accidents happen. And boy, God is reminding these people here, you're almost home, but you're not home yet. And they're looking forward to say, I know what's going to happen. You're going to forget me. You're going to forget me. Don't let your guard down. You say, what does this mean? What does this mean? I thought this is very good. Well, here's what it means. Summer's here! Woo! Beware, lest thou forget the Lord. Pastor Moore, you negative, pessimistic. You want us to have a good summer? I hope you have a great summer. I like summer. But beware, lest thou forget the Lord. Beware, believer. Beware, mom and dad. Beware, family member. Because you know what happens? Oh, praise the Lord, summer's here. School's out for those who have children. Teachers, school's out. If nothing else, it's a little slower pace for some. Not for some, it's ratcheted up. You're running all over the place. But for many people, oh, summer, beaches, parks, amusement parks, camping, shopping, swimming, sleeping, traveling, dating. Oh, David, woo, summer. Now, is any of that intrinsically sinful? No. Is it sinful to swim? Sinful to go to the beach? Is it sinful to camp, to shop, to spend money, to eat, to go to amusement parks? No, I mean, you couldn't put your finger down on it and be like Jell-O. You can't quite nail it to the wall. But it can certainly become sinful. It can certainly lead you into sinful. It can certainly make... You've got to be careful. I think we would agree with that. God's not against having fun. God is the author of fun. God is the creator of fun. God's the creator of pleasure. I hope you understand that. Go back and read. For all the people who think God's a no good, thou shalt not, fuddy-duddy, rule, blah, 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 blah. You need to read the Bible. You need to read what he had the Jewish people do. How many feasts and celebrations and fun times and seven-day things did they celebrate? God came up with those. How many things does God say, rejoice? Look at creation. Look at the variety of all that God did. God created all of that. Sin has ruined it. Satan has tried to counterfeit it. We think today the world has all the fun. God wants you to have a great time enjoying his creation, all that he made, in the boundaries of his word, because true fun never leaves scars, emotional, physical, social, spiritual, never promotes guilt, doesn't break up homes, families, individuals, minds, marriages, or anything. That, you have all the fun you want. But if the fun you're talking about in summertime brings major scars, breaks down marriages, homes, families, friendships, goes contrary to the word of God, God's ways, and ruin, that's not fun. That's the pleasure of sin for a season. And we have to be careful. Why? Because beware lest thou forget the Lord. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. As a former teenager and as a former youth pastor, worked with teens for over 20-some years, not that that makes me special, I can tell you how many teenagers couldn't wait for summer. Now, I look forward to summer, too, as a teacher. Yes. All right, no more grading, no more papers, no more, love it, right? But I can tell you, if teenagers were being brutally honest, you'd say, no, won't you be honest with me? When you look back at all the summers that you had as a teen, assuming you were saved, how many of those summers could you say you grew in the Lord, that the summer glorified God, or how many of those summers do you have a lot of scars? The vast majority would say, oh man, I just sort of blew my summer. I mean, I had good intentions. I was going to do this. I was going to do this. Maybe I went to camp. Maybe I did. I mean, just, stuff I shouldn't have done. And yet, the very thing that many people hate, structure, you know, the structure of school, the structure of church, is the very thing that keeps you in line. The very thing that actually keeps you from ruining your life. The busyness, the structure, the go to bed, you got this, practice, sports. But I'm not saying there's some people who are way too busy, but the very structure of that is what has kept you in line, and now that those are removed, summer! It's a lot of times stay up way late, sleep in way late, not just kids, adults sometimes, and relax and let down the key, and you see a lot of folks, and this is not trying to get everybody to come to church, but you'll see all kind of sporadic church attendance from all kind of people, all right? You let the guard down, you get a little comfortable, you're out playing and having a good time, may not have done anything sinful or even wicked, but you just, woo, and you just, well, you know, and things begin to slip. Things begin to slip. Same thing God's saying right here, and they didn't have church and Sunday school and stuff back then. Things begin to slip. The principles are the same. The family devotions, don't even have them. The family altar, whatever, we're too tired and busy. Church, we're worn out from playing all day Saturday. Lest you forget God, isn't it interesting? What are most vacations? What do they make you do, most of them? It's usually Sunday to Sunday. The world, like, they want you to go on Sunday to Sunday, or you know, travel on this, and man, we're worn out. Just think of all of that, and you're just like, oh my goodness. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. Now, is that important? You say, you're just pulling one verse out here. Let's just look at a couple chapters here. You're in Deuteronomy 6. Go back to chapter number 4. Chapter number 4. The first three chapters of Deuteronomy are going back over their history from the spies, talking about what happened and rehearsing their sins and why they wandered. You get to chapter number 4 here. Take a look at verses 7 through 10. See if this sounds familiar. Deuteronomy 4, 7 through 10. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Talking about Israel. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Look at verse 9. This will sound familiar. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Wow, we could go on. I mean, God is making the point there. Same chapter, look at verse 23. Same chapter, verse 23. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget. We already read chapter 6, verse 12. Let's go to chapter 8, Deuteronomy chapter 8, just a few pages to your right. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. God is trying to pound this into a generation that's about to go in the promised land. And they're going to see victory after victory after victory after victory. And there's going to come a time where it's time to stop fighting. And they divide up the land. And they divide it by tribe. And everybody gets their portion. They get their house and they get their land. And it's normal. It's not, God's not against this. You bought that first house. That's exciting, right? You're like, no, what are we going to do now? And you're making three trips a day to Lowe's or Home Depot, and you're on all these sites, and you're like, we can redecorate and do this, and boom, 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 in our yard, and landscaping, and this. And that's not wrong, but I'll tell you what, you can be all into that and forget God. And he's saying, that's what's going to happen to you folks. God's not against that. He's giving it to them. He's just warning them. He's saying, I know better than you. Don't say in your heart, not me. Don't sit there and say, not going to happen to me. Don't say, well, that's for other people. God says, I know you. I know what's going to happen. And I'm warning you again and again and again, lest you forget. Look at chapter 8, verse number 11. 8:11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Keep reading. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full. What happens when you're full? You ever eat a big meal and you're like, oh man, we're just going to kick back on the couch, right? The kids take pictures of all the older people. sleeping after the... They go, oh, my word, I'm so full, I can't do anything. I don't even want... I'm comfortable, I'm satisfied. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply... Hey, that takes a lot of work to keep up a house. Car, the yard, the boat, the vineyard, the camper... All the, I mean, you got, yeah, and when you're going to have all this stuff and your crops have multiplied and your silver and your gold and your bank accounts and your stocks and your bonds, you guys always check that kind of stuff. Got to invest, know what you're going to do, plan for trips. Well, nothing wrong. All of that now has been multiplied, and maybe you don't even think about God. Maybe you don't say, God, thank you. This is from you. Look what his warning is, verse 14. Then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought forth water out of the rock. And he goes down through the list, and he warns in verse 17, because once you forget, guess what comes next? Verse 17, you're going to say in your heart, here's what you're going to think: my power, my might, my job, my work, my savings, my effort, my talent, my gifts have got me where we're at today. Verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Let's read the last two. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, God is saying this, that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Wow. You will, number one, you'll forget me. Number two, you'll soon begin to think that everything is because, you know, you work hard. Look at all the hours you work, your job, your might, your talents, your gifts. I have the right to decide my schedule. No one tells. And you're soon going to forget me. And then you're soon going to defy God. And then you're soon going to become, and you're going to merge, and you're going to become just like the world. Except when you're in church, maybe. You're going to talk, think, act, and you're going to love all the things. You're going to go to the same concerts and watch the same shows, same movies, talk about the same things, read the same books. You're going to have all the same stuff. You're going to think the way that they do. And you're going to intermittent. It's going to be okay, and you're going to lower standards. And you're going to, as in Sunday school, the definition of sin is going to be changed. And soon you're going to be against God and even get a little upset at God, maybe even turn from God. And he says you're going to turn right into the very nations that you helped destroy because of their wicked sin. You can read Deuteronomy, and God will spell out the sins of the nations. And they had hundreds of years to repent, and they would not repent, the Canaanites. And God said it's time to punish them for their sin. And you can see the sins they did. Read the book of Deuteronomy. Same sins that are going on all around our country and the world today when you turn from God. And God says, I have a message for you. If it's for Israel, I believe we can apply it today to the believers. Believers, beware lest you forget. I'm not just talking about summer. But I know that summer is a heightened time of relaxation. Everybody just naturally lets the guard down. It happens. It's human nature. Just like it's natural to, you're almost home. Look, I can see the mailbox. You don't pay attention as much. Maybe text real quick at the last minute. You're not literally, boom. Like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. You were late. Be careful. You let your guard down. You forgot to pay attention. The things you taught your kids. Now look, you don't ever take your hands off the wheel. Right, the same things you take your kids, but over time you do them now, right? No texting. Pay attention. The very things you said, don't you do it? Don't you do it? Over years, you do it. And sometimes you're like, well, praise God, you get an accident, didn't look up, car coming. But it's okay. It's okay. The very things that we say, don't do, don't do, don't do. Over time, we do, and then it's okay. And then we think it's because of our driving skills and it's because of the things we do. And God says, no. But there's more important than driving skills in summer. It's the Bible. And God said, the number one thing I want you to do is not forget me. But don't just live that way. Don't forget God. You need to be proactively teaching your children, for those that have children, teaching your grandchildren, nieces and nephews, or children here in the church that God has put you in, or people you can invest your life in, or that you can be praying for them if you have no children. You need to do more than just that. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 6 here, these next few moments. What does God really say here in Deuteronomy chapter 6? What is the message for the hour today? both for adults, both for young people. What is the message? Yes, God says in verse number 4 of Deuteronomy 6:4, hear, O Israel. We could say today, hear, O church, hear, O believer. At least the truth, I believe, is pertinent. We have one God, and we're to love God. We know that Jesus repeated this in the New Testament, correct? When the lawyer, the expert of the Old Testament, said, what's the greatest law? Of all the hundreds and almost 1,000 laws, what's the greatest? Trying to make him look foolish, trying to trick him. Of course, Christ referred to this. The greatest commandment of all is right here. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Boom. And he said, and the second is like it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Two hooks. He said, every command, every other law hangs on those two. Every one of them. All the other ones are really supplemental. If each of us loved God with all of our being, then what's the trickle-down effect? We will love one another this, as God wants us to. All the other ones are unnecessary. If we love God, when God says forgive them, then I'll forgive them. Why? Because I love God. If God says, I'm going to do it. Why? Because number one command. I mean, I'm not going to have to worry about not killing and not stealing and not lying and coveting, because all that comes underneath what I want to love God with all my heart. And therefore, I'm going to treat my spouse and my children and my coworkers. I'm going to do as God says. Everything hinges on those. But here in Deuteronomy, there's additional, isn't there? Verse number 6, the admonition here is at first he's speaking to adults. And he's speaking to adults, we know, because of verse 6. And these words which I command thee, adults, shall be in thine heart. Did you see the admonition, moms and dads, adults, singles? You and I are to know God personally and intimately, number one. We must know God personally. We must know him. That's the admonition. I've got to know God, and I've got to know his words. And they've got to be not just in my head, not just carried around in the Bible. I've got to know him in my heart, and I've got to believe him with all I have. I will never have a godly marriage or godly home or godly children if I'm faking my personal relationship with God. If my relationship is basically paper, it looks good at church, people think I'm a good, godly Christian dad, mom, single, but there's nothing really there during the week. I live the rest of the week in anger all the time. I just suppress it at church. I live all week just with gossip and slander. I'm a busybody. But at church, I have enough time to fake it, look nice and sweet. All during the week, I just love the things of the world and drawn to the, but at church, I suppress that just for a little bit. You don't know, that's not a relationship with God. That's fake. Everybody's going to see the flaws. Your kids will spot it in a quick minute. Close friends will see it soon. Others, you may be able to fake a little bit, and they'll be, oh, you only see them at church, and you barely see them. They're the sweetest, nicest. You've got to know God personally. Do you have a personal relationship with God? Do you know him with all of your heart? Have you trusted in his son, Jesus Christ? You can have no relationship with God outside his son. But as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You've got to be in God's family. Not just talk about God, pray about God. I pray every day to God. But you don't know him. You can only know him through his son, Jesus Christ, and his finished work on the cross. Once you do that, moms and dads and adults, it says, then you've got to consume and know his word. Wouldn't that stand to reason? If I love God and know God, I'm going to spend a lot of time with God. And if I spend a lot of time with God, I'm going to know his word. And when I know his word and I make it personal and it's for me, then I can reproduce it and teach it to my children in the next generation. If not, it's hypocritical and it won't really last. And God says, verse 7, look at verse 7, especially for parents, and thou shalt tell them diligently. No, it says to teach. Now, teaching is not easy. It's not just posting 10 rules in the home, although that has its place sometimes. It says to teach. Not just tell, not just yell. Thou shalt teach them. By the way, is it possible to teach someone else what you personally don't practice? I suppose yes, but will not the student soon observe that the teacher does not believe what they're teaching because the student doesn't see the teacher doing it? So therefore, it's not teaching. And the student says, If you're not going to do it, and it's not good enough for you, then why do I need to? So it says they've got to be in your own heart. They've got to be deep Bible convictions that have changed your life. And yes, you're a sinner, and no parent's perfect, and no child's perfect, no adult's perfect, and you're going to have to ask forgiveness, and you're never going to model it perfectly. But you need to have the attempt, and the pattern should be there. And it says you are to teach them, your children, if God gives you them, diligently. That does not mean haphazardly, quickly, a 2 minute. That means that's the priority number one. I mean, that's more important than bank account, cars, boats, vacations, anything else pales in comparison to your children that God has given you. Teach them diligently. Notice now, keep on going here. Talk of them. So let me ask you, moms and dad, I'm putting you on the spot. I'm a mom and dad too. I'm a dad. Outside of church, how often would your kids, if we interviewed your children, and they were brutally honest, and kids are brutally honest, aren't they? Right? Remember the old TV show, they'd quiz? You know? Hey, do your mommy and daddy ever read the Bible with you? What happens at your home? Do you ever discuss your... I mean, what would your children say? What would your teen say? Would your teenagers, if they were brutally honest, say, do your mom and dad have valid, intimate relationship with God and you know it? How do you know that? How do you know that? All right? Have your parents ever taught you about this, 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 and this according to the Word of God? What would your kids say? What would your children say? Now, maybe you've been recently saved and you're just starting up on that. Maybe God's convicting you, you're beginning to work on that. But here it says in verse 7, talk of them. What does it mean, them? God's Word, God's ways, God's principles. Talk about these things when you sit in your house. So do you eat meals together? If you don't eat meals together, do you have an intentional time where the entire family is sitting together? Call that family altar, Bible devotions. When thou walkest by the way, so that's just everyday actions. That can be an actual walk, hike. Nothing wrong with going out on hikes. Talk about God. Look at that tree. Look how big that tree is. Yesterday I was playing, I had about an hour and a half of free time, and I played some disc golf with my nephew and my uncle in Lebanon, and man, there was one of the biggest oak trees. Literally, it was 8 feet. It was massive. Now, it's nothing wrong with saying, look at that, that's awesome. But if you have children with you, you've got to say more than that. Look at that tree that God made. Oh my word, can you believe that God made that? Look at that little moth. Look at that rainbow. Look at the rainbow. Look, God made the rainbow. Let's go to Jen. You better be talking about everything in the scheme of Scripture. Now, mom and dad, here's the thing. If you're not really intimate with God, it'll never even cross your mind. It's not that you're an evil, wicked person, but it's not part of your thinking. You'll never even think about it. You'll never think about it. Well, you can go to the ocean every year and never one time point out to your children the God of the waves. And let's count them because they never change. The amount of waves that come in every minute is unalterable. God made them that way. Wow. I mean, you can do all kinds of things, but it'll never cross your mind. And you might be a good parent and a loving parent and do all kinds of great things for your children, but God says here, you're to teach them diligently when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you put your children to bed, when thou risest up. The idea here is it's all the time. It's all the time. It's not just, the church is doing it. There have been some teachers down there doing it today. I don't need to do it on a Sunday. They already got it two or three times. No, they're in Christian school. They don't need it. No, they do. But it's got to be in the parent first. And then you teach him diligently. Verse 8. Doesn't mean 8, 9, you've got to do these things literally, but I think God is emphasizing. It's got to be a vital part of the parent's life. And when it's a part of the parent's life, it naturally flows out into the children's life. Now, each child will choose on their own. But you got to do everything you can to influence them the ways of God. Everything you can do to let them know about a great God. But it's got to be part of you. It can't be just a forced thing. It won't last long. You'll start on it and it'll end very quickly. Our time is up this morning, but beware lest ye forget the Lord. Let our eyes go to two verses left in chapter 6 and we'll conclude here. Look a little bit later in the chapter. Deuteronomy 6. Look at verse 20. And I realize not everybody here is married. Not everybody has children. Not everybody has children in the home. But still, I think the principles apply. Verse 20, and when thy son, I think we can assume this is a younger child, and when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, now kids ask lots of questions, don't they? Now, here's the thing, parents. What do children ask questions about? Because the questions that they ask reveal what they're thinking about. And what they're thinking about and ask questions and reveal what their time is spent in. So if nothing wrong with sports, but if it's all sports, then it's always going to be sports questions. If it's all, I mean, so if they're never asking Bible questions, do you need to think about that? All right. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, now notice, this is a child whose parents are obviously teaching them Bible truths, so the son does not understand it. What mean? I don't understand. What's the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Hey, mom and dad, I don't understand these. I know you tell us we're supposed to do this and don't do this, and God said do this and don't do this, and there's going to be judgment, but what for? I don't understand. What's the point? Aren't you glad, though, that the parent is teaching them? And now comes the opportunity to answer, verse 21. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, now it's time to teach. We were Pharaoh's bondmen. The son wasn't alive when that happened. He's only heard stories. We were slaves in Egypt. What do you think the next question would be? Why? Why were you slaves in Egypt? Don't you notice questions lead to other questions? Well, we didn't obey God. Well, why didn't you obey? What do you mean you didn't obey God? Well, God said, you see, it opens up all kind of avenues you're teaching. And we were slaves, but then God delivered. How did God deliver you? Well, how did he do that? Because God is awesome. God can do anything. But it's impossible. He did the Red Sea. How did he do that? You mean to tell me? Boom! Yeah, you tell your son that. You tell your daughter that. You tell him, verse 23, how God brought you out. You tell him by his mighty power. You tell him about the land of Canaan. You tell him about Jericho. You tell him about Achan. You tell him about Og and Bashan. You tell him about all those things. You tell him about sin and why we disobeyed and why God had to do this. You tell him about how we disobeyed the commandments. You tell him about the golden calf. You tell him about the spies. Tell them all those things. Let them know what God does. Tell them that God's a good God. Tell them that we disobeyed God and God had to judge us though he didn't want to do this. And you teach your children that. But you can't teach your children if you've never learned it. And it's not real to you, or you think the book is a joke or only parts of it are real or church isn't that necessary or you can do your own thing. You're going to forget God. You're going to forget God. Mom and Dad, as we conclude, how are you doing on your reading and studying of the Word of God, adults? How you doing on meditating and memorizing the Bible? Why would your kids memorize anything if you're not going to? How you doing on praying? Who do you think is going to teach your kids to pray? How about confessing sin? Why would they confess if mom and dad never confessed? How about sharing Christ and being a bold witness? Why would they ever open their mouth? How about letting them know when you messed up and how God forgave you and God's mercy and grace is so awesome? And child, if you've done anything, God can forgive you the same way. Are we teaching them those things? Do they even know why God made the church? There's a lot of adults who have no clue. You can tell by their attendance. They don't understand. They still think church is some man-made invention and that you're okay to come once in a while because it's better than what you used to do. You need to get in the book. Kids need to know about that because there's not many staying in church. What about marriage? What about what a real marriage is? What about all the things that are being taught today? They're going to have questions about them. They're asking somebody. They'll find answers. How about in your own speech? How about being a servant? How about holy living? How about character? Where are your kids going to learn those things? You say, Mom, Dad, but I want to. I don't know where to start. I don't mean to be facetious. I'm not being unkind. I'm being very truthful. Genesis 1:1. Seriously, we don't need to outdo God. Open the Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Where do you think you need to start? That'll tell him everything. There's a God. He's a creator. Look what he made. Man, woman, marriage, home. Where did sin come from? They disobeyed God. Where did judgment come from? Right here. Why did we die? Boom. Who's the devil? Where did he come from? Boom. Why did we do it? Boom. Why did Jesus have to come? I mean, just start in Genesis. Open the book. Begin to read it. Your kids will ask all kinds of questions. Now, here's the thing. You're going to be on the spot. Parents, you got to know your stuff. If you're not settled on some things, it'll come out very quickly. And maybe that's why a lot of people don't change, because there's a lot of adults, I'm afraid, you have never settled with biblical conviction, even what you believe. So why would you dare begin teaching it? You'll feel like a hypocrite, and so you don't. You're not settled on the issue of alcohol or dress or the church or music or TV or movies or homework. You're not sure, so you can't teach that. Kids will ask questions, and you'll know you're faking it, and you don't want to lead them astray, so you stay silent, and when you stay silent, beware lest thou forget the Lord. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. Hey, I pray that all of you have a blessed summer. I really do. I love seeing families do things together. It's rare sometimes you don't see many people even out in the yard. Love seeing a father, son throw a ball. Love seeing a mom, a grandma shooting hoops. All right? Everybody's indoors, right? Everybody's got their little phone. You know, everybody's got their little room, a little tablet, a little TV. All right? It's all isolation. Isn't that an interesting part of the plan? Right? Love to see families doing stuff together. Oh, it's nice to have barbecues and all that kind of stuff. Love to see families that intentionally do things together, maybe even to be a gospel witness with some neighbors that are lost. Have a little, you be the host family. Invite the neighbors. That way you're the host. You can control the conversation. Have a little devotion. Hey, what are we doing? Well, this is what we do when we have get-togethers. Share the gospel. Share some praises. Sing a song. Why can't we be intentional with that? You say, I've never done family devotion. Start today. Dad, if you're the one that needs to do it. You'd be amazed at how your family will run when you just set some guidelines. You'd be amazed at how your wife will be like, this is a blessing. Dad is finally taking the reign. The kids don't have to come to me and say, are we going to church tonight? Everybody knows we're going to church tonight. Dad's never going to church tonight. All right, we don't have to ask that question anymore. All right, we don't have to go say, are we going to Sunday school? We all know we're going to Sunday school. That's already been set. You'd be amazed at how smooth the family will run when you just have some set guidelines. No, are we watching? No, we're not watching that show. Why? Because Dad said that's garbage. Turn off. Dad says, no, you're not wearing that, daughter. Go back and change. Why? Because Dad's in church. Dad's doing it. No, Dad's saying, no, we're not doing it. You'd be amazed at how a lot of the friction in the home would be changed if there'd just be some set guidelines. Dad would run it a biblical model of what a dad should be, the right way, not lord over everybody. And mom would say, this is great. I love it. And I don't have to go see your mom. That's what you're for. All right? Those kind of things. Model the Bible. Have a great summer. Enjoy the break. Take the break from studying in school, but not the Bible now. You'll find that a lot of summers, this is non-existent. Teens, non-existent. Moms and dads, non-existent. And even in the summer, on a one-week vacation, never opened. Never opened, and there's this supposed to be a Christian family. We're on vacation. That's not a God that's part of your life. Why can't you do devotions on vacation? Why can't you go to church? Why can't you do those things? Is that not what you want your kids to do one day? I hope it is. Please don't forget God or His Word. Don't forget His church. Don't forget it. You don't always have to be at this church, but if you're away, find a good church. If it's not a good church, there's things you can watch. Be active. Be involved. Schedule time. Be intentional. Your children will ultimately choose, but you want to give them every opportunity to choose God and His Word. And you'll find out when you model Christ and you model the Bible, and mom and dad, mom, single family, whatever it may be, when you model biblical Christianity, you're going to find that your children almost always will choose that when they've seen it long term. Oh, there may be some bumps in the road, and that's not a blanket statement, but they'll realize it was real. It was real. And the things of the world, though they may be tempted to try, will realize there's only pleasure in sin for a season. It's not long lasting. I think I'm going to go with what mom and dad have. Why? Because they have a real relationship with God. And I saw it, and I watched it, and I admired it, and I respected it, and I want it. Moms and dads, singles, teens, everybody, beware. Preacher, beware, lest thou forget God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, may I be aware, lest I preach the truth and not live it. Lord, lest I proclaim your testimonies and precepts and not practice it. Lord, your word is sufficient. It's all we need. Yes, there are nice books out there, but we don't need those, Lord. The Bible is sufficient. Your word is enough. May we find our sufficiency for parenting, for marriage, for problems, for jobs, for relationships in the Bible, because you are a powerful, almighty God, and you've given us your word. Lord, may we heed the warnings found in Scripture that were written for our admonition and learning. May we remember, Lord, that humans are the same as they've always been. The sin, the temptations have not changed. The devil has not changed. God, you have not changed. Your word has not changed. The Bible is still applicable today. Lord, I pray that we would examine our own lives, our own homes, our families, our marriages through the lenses of the word of God. And Lord, if your spirit pricks our heart in any way, Lord, let us just get that right with you. Let us confess it. Let us forsake it. Let us determine today to begin doing perhaps what we haven't done, or what we used to do and we stopped doing it, or what we think didn't work anymore. Let us not try to assume that the kids don't care and they don't listen. Let us do things God's way over time. And Lord, we know that your way always works. Lord, may we trust in you with all our heart. May we not lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways, may we acknowledge you. And you have promised to direct our paths. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Very simple invitation this morning. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, there's nothing else that'll transform your life, your home, or your family, your marriage, than a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to do that today, not trusting in any works, any deeds of the church, baptism, mass, church membership, choir, praying all the time, reading your Bible. You need to realize that you are a sinner. Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins. Christ died on the cross for our sins and rose again. He offers the free gift of salvation to those who turn from their sins, call upon him, and in faith receive him as their Savior. If you're here today, can I ask you a simple question? No one's looking. Is there someone here today that would say, Preacher, Pastor Boyer, I'm not sure that I go to heaven. I'm not sure I'm in God's family. I'm not sure that I have a personal relationship with God like you were talking about, but I'd sure like to get that settled today. Is there anyone like that would slip their hand up so I can see it? I'd like to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't know that I would be on my way to heaven. I don't know that my sins have been forgiven, but I'd sure like to learn that. Maybe you're here today and you're a little afraid to raise your hand. You never had an invitation before. My wife and I will be at the back in just a minute. If we can talk with you after the service, if we can come by for a visit, please let us know that. We'd be more than happy to open the Bible, show you from the Bible how you can know what the Bible says about salvation. Perhaps you're here today and you are saved. You may be a young person, a teenager, a single, a young adult. You may be newly married. You may have a family, a home. You may be a grandparent. You may be a widow, widower. You may be retired. Yet the Bible truths are still important today. Do you know the Lord? Are you walking with him? Have you begun to forget him? Have you been able to get, you're so caught up in the hours and your job and the work and the stress and the kids and the family and this that you just forget God. And you're struggling with anxiety and cares and worry and anger and bitterness and all the things of the world. You're beginning to be tempted with the, and you say, I need to get back to God. I've been forgetting him. Perhaps you're a parent today and God's convicted you over not child rearing, not child training. It's time to start that today with God's help. God will help you. He's able. God spoke to your heart in any way today. Perhaps you've already made a decision in the quietness of the pew. You've already made a pledge to God to do something. You've confessed it. But maybe you just say, Preacher, I want you to know that God spoke to me today about one specific thing. Perhaps it was as a teenager. You haven't been obeying your parents. You got to get right with mom and dad. Maybe mom and dad, you've not been training. Maybe you've just let down your guard. Maybe you've just sort of given up and said it doesn't really work. Maybe you're here and you don't even pray for anybody in the church. You have no children, but you don't pray for any of our kids. You don't know the children's names. You need to start knowing that. I don't know how God may have worked, but if God worked in your heart in any way, would you simply raise your hand and say, Preacher, God spoke to me. I'm just raising the hand so that you know how you can better prepare messages and pray. Just right up, right back down. I see those hands. Praise the Lord. Many hands, many hands. Now it's between you and the Lord. Don't make a vow and not keep it. Don't get emotionally caught up in a message and then the rest of you got to make some changes. Got to make some changes. Pray together as a family. Get those things settled. Father, we love you. Lord, your word is always sufficient. Lord, most of us will fail many times. Lord, let us get back up with your help. Lord, let us not evaluate our children based on, all right, we did family devotions and it turned out worse. They're even more rebellious, so now we won't do them. Lord, we've got to do things your way all the time. Stay faithful and know that you have said that, Lord, when we'll not be weary in well-doing, we will reap if we faint not. Lord, let us not faint or quit or give up on the things of God. Lord, I pray there be some transformed homes, transformed marriages, transformed children, transformed individuals, Lord, by acting on what you spoke to us today about. Thank you for your word. Lord, give us a great afternoon. Bring us back tonight, eager to be in the Bible, to worship, to serve, to minister to one another. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.